949-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
And our website is philhenryshow.com for those Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts. I mean Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts. Bowling shirts. We don't have no t-shirts. We're not selling t-shirts for $80. We're selling bowling shirts for $80. As long as we're going to charge people $80, it might as well be for a bowling shirt, not a t-shirt. Wait till you see these wonderful $80 baseball hats we're going to be coming out with. And then there's the $80 coffee mug and, of course, the $80 keychains and chapstick. Those are coming up, too. Our website, philhenryshow.com, features a variety of things that a Phil Henry fan might enjoy, not only our souvenir shop, but you can also listen to our audio, and all of it with a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. Get your backstage pass. We cover all the big stories. We're a news talk show. We are the next generation of news talk, this radio show. We are a generation, a kind of, I don't know what I don't want to say above. I don't want to sound like I've got some ego thing going. Although, of course I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing for a living. But I can tell you this, that what we do takes news talk to another place. And I know you get that. Because you listen to our show. What we do in this program is I play the part of different characters. But if you talk to some people in this business of ours called radio, they say it's just he does made-up phone calls. In the last 48 hours, I have talked to some of the stupidest human beings that I have ever talked to in my life. And guess what line of work they're in? The radio business. That's right. They don't know, is it news talk, is it not? Is it a funny comedy show, or is it a topical show? What is it that he does? I do it all. I do everything. I do funny voices, I do commentary, I field phone calls, I do news analysis, we do shtick, we do it all. We do it with just a staff of 1, 2, 3, 4. Basically me, plus 3. That's what we do on this show. But, man, I'm going to tell you, I had some of the most marvelous conversations on the phone today with all kinds of people. They just are absolutely stunned. See, after 9/11, the prevailing thought is this. People are now only in the mood to talk about the news in very serious and sobering terms. And they don't want none of that shtick. And after all, this is radio, so whoever said that we get to be funny or entertaining in radio, we're going to sit and we're just going to do all that serious news shtick. We're going to sit and we're going to talk about this stuff. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to furrow our brows, and we're going to fold our arms across our chest. And we're going to do what this business has been doing for so long, pretend like we care about the events of the world, which, of course, we don't. I'm not just talking about me. There isn't anybody that does a talk show that cares about the events of the world. All they care about is keeping their job. But they got you guys snookered into believing it, don't they? They got a lot of you schnooks believing, well, I flip on my favorite talk show host and that guy, he's telling it like it is. He's telling me exactly how it's supposed to be, and he really cares about that. Well, he just doesn't. Anyway, the prevailing thought is this. After 9/11, let's pretend like we really care about the serious issues of the day and forget about any of that shtick and just get back to doing news talk. And, Henry, you just, you know, you just better get with it. Well, I ain't going to get with nothing. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing until, well, whatever, you know. Jesus, it's depressing. It's frustrating. But ultimately, in about, say, 5 to 10 years, when everybody is trying to do what I'm doing on the radio, and then everybody's trying to hire me, and I'm retired and I don't want to be bothered, it'll be so much fun hanging up on those people, you won't even believe it. I'm just kidding. I didn't talk to anybody today. This all took place in my mind. All these phone conversations, I didn't talk to one person. By the way, I got a whole list of Robert Blake's films. You wouldn't believe that Robert Blake made the amount of movies that he made. I got a list here of 131 films. As you know, he was a child actor. And this goes all the way back to 1939, when he made his very first movie, a movie called Joy Scouts. In 1939, he also made a film called Auto Antics, Captain Spanky's Showboat.
Did he do gay porn?
You know, if you want to come in and make a comment.
I'm sorry, can I come on the air?
I guess if you walk right in and say to you and make a comment, I guess you're on the air, right? What was the question?
I didn't know he did gay porn.
Who?
Robert Blake.
What do you mean, did he do gay porn?
But the movies that he do.
Joy Scouts, Auto Annex, Captain Spanky Showboat.
Is that gay?
No, that's not gay porn.
Well, why do they call it that?
Oh, I get it. So you think the names of these movies sounds like they did gay porn.
Captain Spanky Showboat? Give me a break. Give me a break. What other movie he do?
He did a movie called Alfalfa's Double.
God, that's gay.
What's gay porn about Alfalfa's Double?
I've seen the movie down at Pussycat Theater, and it said Alfalfa's Double.
It was a...
Yeah, and there's a chicken with the biggest boobs you ever seen.
Wait a minute. You walked into the Pussycat Theater and saw a porn movie called Alfalfa's Double.
Yes. Yes, I did. And you're trying to tell me that Robert Blake not do porn. It was called Alfalfa's Double D's.
This is Alfalfa's Double, man. This is from the days of the Little Rascals. Bubbling Troubles.
I saw that. That's porn, too.
Look, Robert Blake couldn't have done nothing but porn at the age of six.
He could have been just the kid on the street before they go have sex. What other movie he do?
What other movies did he do? And when I give the name, you'll say that's a porn movie that you saw, too?
I don't know. Name some.
There's one here called Waldo's Last Stand.
Yeah, that's about foot fetish. That's, oh, man, there's anal in that.
Waldo's Last Stand? There's anal?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
There's another movie here called Come Back, Miss Pips. Oh, I get it. That's...
You got it. Back door.
These are all of Robert Blake's early movies. Every last one of them was a porn movie.
Yep.
Here's one called Mighty Lack a Goat.
Yeah.
Kid Glove Killer.
Porn.
Little Miss Pinkerton.
Yeah, that's about threesomes.
Dancing Romeo.
Black on white sex.
And let's see, what other movies did he make? Tell Them Willy Boy Is Here.
Yeah, that's like nasty ass Asian stuff.
Tell Them Willy Boy Is Here. Nasty ass. Get out of here, bud.
But I was funny, wasn't I?
Yeah, you're very funny. Bug off. Get out of here. You're bugging me. I'm going to read a list of this guy's movies, Robert Blake's movies. It's all gay porn. Robot Rex, Fighting Fools, Baby Blues.
Porn.
Going Fishing, I Love You Again.
Oh, yeah, that's some more nasty-ass Asian stuff.
Yeah. Bridal Suite.
Yeah, that's some soft B&D.
Time Out for Lessons.
Yeah, Domination.
All right, 1-800...
The early movies of Robert Blake, everybody.
Thanks, bud. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
My wife's getting back tonight from a gospel music convention or award show or something in Nashville, Tennessee. And she went out last night, and she went to a club, and she listened to blues in Nashville. There's a blues club in Nashville that she went to. I forget the name of it, but I spoke with her this morning. And I said, you know, there you go. My favorite music, and you're sitting in the club listening to it. See, she likes to go dancing, listening to any of that 70s stuff, all the dance stuff. There's a perception, of course, that the 70s was nothing but disco, and of course that is completely incorrect, but what are you going to do? History is written by the winners, and the winners are the dancers. The winners are the dancers, those of us who enjoyed such bands as, the Allman Brothers, or, you know, we listened to The Who, or whatever we listened to, we lose. The dancers are the winners, and so their history of the 70s is a history replete with comments about, well, how it was the decade of disco and how everybody danced, and everybody wore those airplane collar shirts and those five-story high shoes, and they had the process pompadours, and they had the collars and the shirts open to the navel with the medallion and three little pieces of little wispy chest hairs there that they'd go out to Sears and get the chest wig to try to augment, all of that stuff. Do you have chest hair? Of course you do. You're an Irishman. All real Irishmen have chest hair. You'll notice, for instance, and I don't know why this is, Latin men have no chest hair. Am I right? There's certain racial differences in terms of the Irish guys are hairy dudes, and we just are. And we also go bald sooner than anybody else, so it's all just drops. So back then, you know, opening your chin. Of course, now everybody's like waxing. This whole thing, waxing all the hair off of your body. I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. Not because I think it's gay, which it is. But no, not because of any of that. I don't want to put myself. Why do I want to go through the Spanish Inquisition just so I look like I'm 12? Is that what that's about? Chinese men don't have any hair. Male swimmers don't have any. Gay men generally don't have any. And I think the Chinese men, they're the only guys that don't wax. The other two do. But they, so anyway, my wife goes to this blues club. I said, this is fantastic. That's the music that I love. I just bought myself three CDs. The Best of Tower of Power. I bought a Neil Young CD, which was the wrong one because the music on it sucks. And I bought a Stevie Ray Vaughan CD, Double Trouble. This is the music that I relax to. This is the music that I enjoy. And if you're asking me, this is the music that I personally would get up and dance to. And so, and in Los Angeles, there's no such place. There's no blues club here. And don't tell me that I got to go down to Watts, because that ain't going to happen. I'd love to go down to Watts, say, about 8, 9 o'clock at night, but I'll die. So I'm content with what? Do I go out to the Hungry Tiger in Thousand Oaks? I don't know where I'm supposed to go. She's the one that got to go and listen to the really good music last night. In fact, at a gospel music convention, that's pretty good music too. My wife spent like 3 days listening to the greatest music in the world, and I'm sitting here looking at you fine folks. I'm sitting here looking at Robert Blake. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, good evening, Phil.
Hi.
You have got our whole office laughing like Herb Sewell. We all imitate him.
Laughing until your stool hurts. What did you say?
No, like Herb Sewell.
Oh, Herb Sewell.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean the,
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're all dying to hear another skit.
Oh, okay.
All right, boss.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Robert Blake, apparently in that trial, stuntmen are expected to testify against him. Two stuntmen are expected to testify that actor Robert Blake tried to hire them to kill his wife. Blake and his bodyguard have been charged in the shooting death of yada, yada, yada. Attorney Harlan Braun, who is Blake's attorney, said the prosecutors would likely use stuntmen Gary McClarty and Ronald Duffy Hamilton, both of whom worked on the 70s Beretta series, as key witnesses. Commissioner Michael Duffy set a May 1 date to discuss bail, set a preliminary hearing date, and there you go. The comment that I heard today, and it's very true, is what are these two guys now coming forward and saying that they were solicited to commit murder? How about you guys going to the cops before Blake was busted? Did you think about that? You know, what they ought to do with your testimony, just for sport, just to say, just because we don't like the way you guys look, is throw it in the garbage, all right? You may be right. Maybe he did. But the fact that you guys are coming forward now, we ought to just take it and throw it in the trash. Just on principle. Oh, yeah, by the way, the guy solicited me to commit murder, too. Well, how about, and we got him in custody. Yeah, well. Great timing on that one, huh? Thank you. I just, been working much since that Twilight Zone thing? Well, not really. Well, kind of nice to get your name in the paper now, isn't it? Well, yeah. So right now, these two stuntmen come forward and say, hey, yo-hoo, this guy solicited us to commit murder. And it's just so happens to be a week after he got arrested. And it just so happens to be that the guy is, he's gonna be twisting in the wind, and they got this guy's ass six ways to sunset. And if Robert Blake gets out of this one, man, it'll be the greatest. Houdini never got out anything this tough. And just to pile on, why don't we just come forward and say that he solicited murder from us? Give me a break. Hey, by the way, I'd like to say on the air right now, Robert Blake also asked me to kill his wife, and also Craig Taylor, Chris Pelton, and Janice Ngaro. In fact, he asked all four of us at once. We, of course, declined because murder's against the law. But we're coming forward out of good citizenship. What? You mean he's already arrested? Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686. You know, the guy ain't guilty yet. I'd like to remind, like we always said during the OJ thing, he ain't guilty yet. You know, let's not have too much fun with a guy's reputation. I realize he's 68 going on 112. I realize that his life has been spent making mostly really bad movies and trying to forget making them. And I realize that he made the horrible, horrible, terrible crime of, making a lot of money. Here's Brad on the Phil Henry Show. Brad?
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Fine, thanks.
First-time caller from Provo.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I used to work at the Hungry Tiger in Thousand Oaks.
Congratulations.
And I heard you mention it, so I thought I'd call.
And tell me that you worked there.
Yeah. And I also have the cure for your bird problem, if you still have that.
That's okay. 1-800-449-8686. I ought to just start mentioning business. By the way, I stopped at the Burger King in Jackson, Mississippi once. Anybody work there? No, it's very nice that you worked at the Hungry Tiger there, sir, in Thousand Oaks. And I mentioned the Hungry Tiger in Thousand Oaks because they actually used to have blues on Friday nights there. Looks like three guys would cram into this little tiny pub that they had downstairs, and I don't even want to get into it. But it was the closest thing to good music that you had out there. And, you know, when you move to the suburbs, when you get married and you move to the suburbs and your life has been the city, which my life was basically the city for all 44 years of my life, and all of a sudden, I'm married, I've got four new stepkids, and I'm out in the burbs. There is a culture shock, the lights of with. I hadn't felt it since I landed in Beijing, China in 1982, wearing Kelly Green sweatpants, standing there putting a 10-speed bicycle together, and all the Chinese are going by going, holy jeez, what that? They didn't know what they were looking at, a white man or a black man or a green man. I might as well have been in downtown Beijing. It's the same difference. Thousand Oaks, California, downtown Beijing, same difference when you're a bachelor. Let me tell you what. By the way, I wanted to mention this at the outset of the show. We have our wall of women. Yes, women listen to the Phil Henry Show, too. We're getting pictures, and it's funny, I just briefly mentioned this yesterday, but we've gotten quite a few pictures of women who listen to the show, and we're not asking for you to send in anything nude. If you want to, I guess, all right, we'll look at it, you know. But no, what we're asking for basically are just pictures, and we'll put your picture on our website. Very nice pictures. A picture there of who's the first lady that sent us the picture? Julie, she's playing a guitar. Jill, she's playing a guitar, and we're going to get another one. We got how many? We got about six? Did you get them? Well, how come I haven't seen them yet? When you get those pictures of those women, I want them emailed to me immediately at my home email address. My wife being out of town affords me the time to lounge around in my bathrobe longer than other mornings. You understand what I'm saying? I want those pictures immediately. So we do have our wall of women. Send them to the Phil Henry Show. I don't know what the web address is, but you can find it on our website, philhenryshow.com. What was I talking about? No. Robert Blake? What? I forget. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. This is Phil Henry Show. Forgive me.
Forgive me.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686.
I see here it's the 10-year anniversary of the Jay Leno Tonight Show. And Leno says that he's very upset. He and Letterman are not speaking. He and Letterman, I guess, are on the outs, if you will. Leno says everybody's fat, everybody's happy, everybody's making money. What's the problem? He bemoans the decade-old chill in the air between himself and CBS Late Show host David Letterman. I have no problem with Dave. I like Dave. I probably watch his show at least three nights a week. He does a good show. He makes me laugh. Much of his material I steal and put on my... He makes me laugh. The storied rivalry between late-night television's comic combatants surfaced again during a conference call Tuesday to promote NBC's primetime special on April 30th, marking Leno's 10th anniversary as host of The Tonight Show. Looking back at those 10 years, he said a bunch of boring stuff, but then he got into his whole friction with Letterman, and it remains a sore point. Leno's show gets a bigger audience than Letterman's, even though the critics prefer Letterman. And he says he's very sorry to see that happen. I read that, and I remember more than anything one of the reasons why I don't like Jay Leno, and I do prefer David Letterman, or maybe it's the only reason. And I haven't, frankly, seen either one of their shows in months. Months, if not years. But the last time I laughed at a late-night show, it was a David Letterman show, wasn't a Jay Leno show. And I recall when they both came back on the air after 9/11. You know how you can sometimes second-guess yourself and say, well, maybe you don't like Leno because he's just a little, you know, he's a little too mainstream. I don't know what it is. But it all was crystallized for me when both those guys came back on the air after 9/11. And Letterman, of course, did that show that everybody remembers. It was an emotional program. It was a completely emotionally uncensored program. It was a from-the-heart monologue done from his desk. He looked like he was near tears at every turn. It was a David Letterman that we'd never seen before. It was a very moving. It was extremely compelling and heartfelt. And if you don't believe me, just look at the covers of Time Magazine and Entertainment Weekly. He was on the cover of magazines for weeks after that, basically with the following storyline. David Letterman leads the charge back into comedy. David Letterman shows the world the face of America, able to laugh at itself again. Blah, 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 right? I watched Leno the next night, and he's reading from the teleprompter. That's why I don't like that guy. He didn't trust himself enough just to talk to the audience from his heart. He had to keep referencing the teleprompter. His eyes went here, then he looked at the teleprompter. Then his eyes would go there, then he's back checking out to see what the hell he's supposed to feel really bad about. Then, I
hate the
9/11.
It was terrible.
I mean, that was the sense I got. But you know what? Leno is a hit. The guy is tops in my book. I wish I had his life. I wish I had his jawline. I wish I had his bikes. I take back that stuff about his looks. He's the man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here is Phoenicia.
Hey,
hi,
Phil.
Phoenicia. How are you doing?
Well, golly, man, I'll tell you what. Usually they have reruns of that Savage Nation, and tonight they treated me with you, and I am just laughing.
What's Savage Nation?
Oh, it's another talk show from that they tape it, and then you can't call it.
And what radio station are you listening to?
It's 590 in Idaho Falls. I don't know the call number.
I don't understand. Usually they have tapes of Savage Nation. Are we usually on, or is Savage Nation usually on?
Savage is usually on, and they just replaced him tonight with you, and I'm just so appreciative.
So, in other words, we're a new affiliate? We have a new affiliate in Idaho Falls?
Yeah, it must be.
But you've never heard my show before?
Huh?
You've never heard my show?
I listen to it on 6:40 in the evening after the sun goes down.
KFI?
Yeah.
Out of Los Angeles. But now you're getting it locally up there in Idaho Falls.
Yes. But I wanted to call you and tell you that what you do...
Thanks for your information. Okay. So, let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I was just wondering if you ever did the voice of Rudy Canosa anymore.
Yes, we do. Here is Caesar on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi, how are you?
I was thinking, I don't know if they've heard it in California, in honor of the hockey playoffs, the Blacks Against the Jews.
Yeah, we've done that too. All right. Anybody got anything they want to say other than, hey, my favorite Phil Hendry shows? Brett?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Phil, I got a bone to pick with you, man. I was listening to your show not too long ago, and I thought the person was real. And then I find out that it's not real, and I think that you're just pulling a bunch of crap over people's eyes, man. I don't think it's a good thing that you're doing here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
What, are you going to say anything?
No, because you're not being sincere. You're just full of crap, too. Thanks for your call. Jesus. Is that it? That's the best you guys have got tonight? Oh, that's so unbelievably weak. But you know what? Our job is to entertain, not yours. And I keep reiterating that. I tell my staff that, and then I make the mistake of taking a phone call. I tell everybody it is our job to provide the entertainment. We simply use the callers for the greater entertainment of the listeners. Because you can't rely on callers to be entertaining unless you manipulate them into saying things that you'd like them to say. And nothing proves the point better than that last three or four phone calls I just took. Hey, Phil, I think it's just a bunch of crap you're pulling. That guy sounded about as sincere. He was about as empty as a head waiter's smile. He was about as sincere as the maitre d' smiling as he takes the $20 bill to give you the ringside seat. Oh, yeah, it's nice to have you here. Yeah, that was real sincere, pal. Am I pulling the wool over a bunch of people's eyes? Oh, that's too bad. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a great idea. There's going to be a 13-episode weekly series called Ultimate Dodgeball, and it was inspired by Celebrity Dodgeball. If you recall seeing it last month, there were actors who played dodgeball, basically. They had Matthew Perry, David Spade, Courtney Cox Arquette, Jeff Probst throwing balls at each other. And, you know, that kind of a thing, right? Apparently, it was born of a comment by Jeff Probst on the Survivor show, how badly he wanted to beat the Friends TV show, and so they had this dodgeball thing. And I got to thinking, these are kind of secondary or television personalities, I should say, not secondary, but they're television actors and personalities. And I think it would be great to insist, if I were the head of a studio, I could come out with movie star dodgeball. You could either make a movie out of it, but no, I'd like it to be a strip. I'd like it to be a daily 7 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. daily half-hour show called Film Star Dodgeball. And I own the studio, so I insist that Sir Anthony Hopkins, if he really wants to make Richard III, well, you're going to have to be on the, I don't do that. Will you? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, Sir Anthony, you do. I'm Anthony Hopkins. I know who you are. Get out there and play dodgeball. Just, wouldn't it be refreshing? I'd like to see Meryl Streep, Glenn Close, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando, all the film stars playing dodgeball on TV. And the other thing about Anthony Hopkins, he'll have to take off a piece of clothing every time he gets hit. Not just him, all these film stars. And De Niro would be pissed off. His agent won't want him to do it. Dame Judi Dench, I'd like her to go out there. And they'll all be pissed because it's beneath them. And, well, that's too bad because you're not going to work. You're not getting a visa to work, Dame Judi, in America unless you play Celebrity Dodgeball on UPN at 7:30.
I say I could never...
Well, excuse me, Dame. What is that Dame, anyway?
Well, I am knighted by the Queen. Well, whatever.
You mind if I call you Broad Judi Dench? I like it better than Dame. Get out there and play some dodgeball, baby. I especially like the part about calling her baby. All of the people who deliver such fine thespian work, you know, they're not TV actors, they're film stars. Who else? Who's that guy? Paul Sorvino? I don't know. Whoever does the real serious-ass stuff, right? Rafe Fine. There you go. The guy who spells it Ralph, but you got to be called it Rafe. Rafe Fine. Get out there and play dodgeball. You don't understand. I've been signed to play the lead in a... Well, that's great. Get out and play the dodgeball. Or you're not working in Hollywood. You want to live in Hollywood? Get out and play the dodgeball. I'm going back to England. Film work in England is much more rewarding. And, yeah, nobody will see your stupid movie, too. Then, I think, and I really believe, in honor of the great work that Bob Hope did on the stage, in honor of the wonderful things that he did in entertainment, and he was a giant in his field. There's no getting around the influence that he had over generations of performers. And also, concurrently, to honor the great work that Stephen Hawking has done, a Nobel Prize, doesn't get much better than that. Have the two of them go at it in dodgeball. And probably they'll both die, but that's how they die. Everybody's wondering, when are they going to, you know, everybody's saying the same thing. Then Christopher Reeve gets winner, and then you, no, but, you know, see, people are going, is Bob Hope dead yet? It's a sad, sad thing to do. It's an idiotic, I suppose it's just the, it's the way the idle imbeciles, the talking heads, and, well, guys like me, in other words, it's the way that we pass the time. We theorize, when's Bob Hope going to die? And how is he going to die? How about in a game of dodgeball? All right, here is Andy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Andy.
Hey, I had a sort of a request. I'd like to hear the people that call into your show find out the gag from you. And just sort of hear that happen.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems like it'd be kind of interesting.
We have done that before. I just wondered why you wanted to hear that. We've done that on occasion. We've done it with people who sounded as if they were going to go and get a gun and blow their brains out. So we wanted to mitigate that. And generally they go from tears to laughter. It's an emotional time.
I can imagine.
Okay, thank you. Andre, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
How's it going?
Fine.
I love your show, man. You're
Thank
funny.
You.
I have a question for you. What's going to happen when you become so famous that people aren't going to want to call your show because they're going to know that it's a bit?
I guess we're
like the Latin, like the Latin lady that called yesterday when you were impersonating the Citizens Police. That was hilarious. The Latin lady got real mad.
Oh, the Jay Santos character, the Latin lady? I forget which one you call. Oh, Margarita? I suppose if we don't get any phone calls because everybody knows the bit, I guess we'll stop doing the radio show.
You can't do that.
Well,
what am I going to do on the way home every night?
Well, you can listen to me just do voices without any phone calls. How's that?
All right.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
or I'll just go ahead and quit and go on and produce Celebrity Dodgeball.
Or take over Jay Leno's job. How's that?
Take over Jay Leno's job. That's your lips to God's ears, brother. All right. Thanks for calling.
No problem, man.
Okay, bye. I suppose people ask me that. What happens when the day comes that the people are familiar with it's you doing the character voices and nobody calls because everybody's in on the joke? I guess we don't do the show anymore. I was asked that question for the first time 7 years ago, and it's now 7 years later. And then I was asked it again when I first got to Los Angeles, which was about 5.5 years ago. And people do ask that question periodically. The answer is this. I will never run out of phone calls. And if you ask me how is that possible, I do know how it's possible, but I'm not going to tell you. I know. There is nothing we do on this program that is not down to the last comma, down to the last decimal point, down to the last period, the last little bit of punctuation. We know exactly how this show works. We know exactly how we get phone calls on this show. And I can tell you, without any fear of argument, that we will never, ever run out of phone calls for this show. Never. How do we do it? That's something you're going to either have to figure out or just not even hope for an answer on that. Because I ain't about to spill everything, man. It's enough that you guys know that I do these goofy voices and people call in and think they're real people. I ain't about to give it a whole, I'm not going to, you know, drop the whole thing in your lap? What if you run out and start doing your own radio show where you're doing voices? Pretty soon, in 10 years, there's going to be nothing but guys up and down the dial doing voices. Hi, this is the Michael Savage Show.
Hey, Michael, I really want to...
Oh, really? Well, hey, Michael, that's a great voice. Thank you. I'm Rush Limbaugh, and let's go now to Sacramento. Hello, you're on the air.
Rush, you're really fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now, I'm Art Bell. You know, I mean, sooner or later, we'll all be competing for the same base of dumbasses. So, I have to keep my trade secrets close to the vest. Neil, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Phil, hey, the first-time caller, and I just think that you should be more grateful to the goofy celebrities who screw up. They're funny. Don't you think?
Which ones?
Well, look at Robert Downey. He's in a hotel room. He wakes up in his underpants, covered in his own poop, with 4 days' growth of beard. I mean, that's hilarious stuff.
I don't remember him being covered in his own poop. Was this something?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I made that up.
You made that up.
Yeah, I think I made that up.
If you got to make it up, then it isn't that funny. Give me something that's, you're saying, be grateful to the celebrities, and then
okay,
you had to make something up.
Sure, sure. Well, what about Britney Spears? She's 14 and gets a boob job? You know, they grow in by themselves.
Dude, that is like what is that, 6 years ago? Give me something that's happening right now that I'm supposed to be grateful for.
Well, you were riffing on Beretta, but, you know, that's actually not that funny, though. I can't think of anything recent.
Except when I talk about it.
Yeah, it is funny when you talk about it.
There you go.
All right.
Where's the snare drum for that guy, you know? Dude, tell you what. You know that gun that they found in the dumpster? It's still available there in the evidence room. If you just want to go ahead and sit in a parked car and put it to the temple, you know, the temple of your temple. There's a guy that ought to just show up in a car in Brooklyn with a little trickle of blood, you know, just leaning against the window. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com, provides you with a snapshot of what we do in our program, gives you our audio archives, our 30-day archive. You can listen to our show on demand. You can also watch our webcast archive. You can pick up some handy fun items in our souvenir shop. You can also pick up our Best of the Phil Hendry Show Year 2001 CD, which is called Bring It. It's all available on the Phil Hendry Show website. If you want our audio, you have to get a backstage pass. And believe me, it's the funniest stuff on the radio. So just get that backstage pass, $6.95 a month. It's a self-renewing backstage pass. You log on every day and listen to some of the better bits that we did from the preceding day's show. PhilHendryShow.com, PhilHendryShow.com. Don't forget our Best of the Year 2001 CD. All of the money goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And if you don't have a computer, if you don't have a radio, call the following number, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. Tell them that you want to buy the Phil Hendry Show CD and that you're willing to pay up to $200 for it. Tell them that, in fact, you want to donate $200 for just one Phil Hendry Show CD, okay? Do that. Do it right now. 877-616-7445. It's the Phil Hendry Show.